All right, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Lee Arnold. I apologize, we're having some technical difficulties on the phone here this morning, but we are here, so praise the Lord for that. Pray you guys are all doing awesome. We're going to jump right into our time of prayer just for the sake of time, but hopefully you guys had a good time of fellowship there at the beginning. But good to see y'all here. I will begin, and if you would like to pray, all you need to do is hit star 6. That will unmute your line, and then when you are done praying, hit star 6, and that will remute your line. So, again, welcome everybody. Glad to have you. We're going to be picking up our study in 2 Samuel chapter 7, and we'll be taking the second half of the chapter this morning, which will be verses 18 through 29. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much for this ministry, Lord. I thank you for each person that's here. And Lord, just the family that we have become. It's so great having everyone here this week, Lord, and just fellowshipping together and just celebrating you. And Lord, being so so humbled by who you are and what you've done for us. It was a great reunion, Lord, and we look forward to heaven, of course. And Lord, if we're still here, the Be Bold for Conference in October, what a time of fellowship that will be. Lord, I just thank you for each person here. I thank you for the opportunity to come and sit under your word and just to learn and to be directed. Lord, I just pray that you would just be with our thoughts this morning as we are looking to hear from you. But Lord, we just commit this time of prayer to you now. Lord, as prayer is another form of worship, and we just want to worship you, Lord. We love you so much. We are so grateful, and we just lift this time to you in Jesus' name.
Good morning, Lord. Yes, you created this earth. It was a major job. And we have major problems here in America. We ask between our political parties, we can't seem to get together, and we just can't get together as individuals. And within the churches, there is so much tensions and frictions between us. And not only in the United Methodist Church that I pray for all the time, but because of the different denominations. We have so many different denominations, and people on the outside look at us and say, how can they be united as and just working for Christ? But Lord, you have the abilities to do these things, and you will create this earth so that everyone will be worshiping you. And that's my prayer.
Amen.
Father, we thank you and praise you for all the many, many blessings that you shower down upon us every day. We thank you for a special blessing this past week as some of us saw one of our colleagues accept Christ at a company meeting, after a company meeting. We just ask you to continue to be with him and help him to grow, help him to find a good, solid place to be planted and learn from your word. Father, we ask you to be with Arden and Audrey. We ask, Father, that you help them get through this challenging time. If it be your will, Lord, bring quick healing to Audrey that they may continue to enjoy each other's company for a long time yet. We ask, Father, that you be with Arden, help him to have the strength and wisdom to know how to care for Audrey, and may your will be done in all of this. Father, we also pray for those of our number who aren't able to be here today. for a variety of reasons. Grandchildren, weather, work, whatever it may be, Lord. Father, help them feel your presence, especially this morning as they go about whatever it is that they're involved with. Father, we thank you again for Lee and his faithfulness. We thank you for the dedication to this ministry and sharing your word. We ask, Father, that you anoint his lips this morning and all the ears that are hearing, that we may hear the exact message that you have for each one of us. Ask this in Jesus' name.
Father, I come to you this morning with thanksgiving and praise. Lord, I thank you for having gotten each of us to Coeur d'Alene and back home safely. I thank you that you continue to be with Terry and Dorothy as they continue to travel home. I thank you for this business, Father, SIC, that is a ministry disguised as a real estate education company. I just thank you for the blessings of the many folks that are touched by this ministry, Lord. I thank you for Lee and his faithfulness, Robert, others that are here all the time to minister to your word to us, Father. I thank you for a quick end to this impeachment mess. I thank you, as Arden mentioned, for uniting our parties instead of them being divided. I thank you, Lord, for Lee's aunt who's battling cancer. I thank you that you touch her, Father. I thank you for continuing to heal our little dog, Cassidy, from her paralysis. I just thank you and praise you for all these things, Lord. I do praise you for helping to facilitate this upcoming Be Bold conference, Lord. I think it will be well attended. And just thank you and praise you for all that you do for us, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Lord, I thank you for the privilege of prayer. Lord, the fact that we can come to you at any moment, in any situation or circumstance. And Lord, we can just talk to you. We don't have to go through anybody. Lord, we don't have to go through a pastor or a bishop or a pope. And Lord, I just pray for so many that are trapped in a religion that says you have to do things a certain way, a religion that says you have to come to you through this means or that means, and a religion that says if you're not a good person and if you don't tithe every Sunday that you're going to go to hell. Lord, so many lies that have spun over the many, many years. And Lord, so many caught up in that. To think that they can't come to you directly, to think that you are not a loving and caring and compassionate God. And Lord, I just pray that you would open the eyes of so many that just don't have a correct understanding, a correct view of who you are and what you do. Lord, I thank you for those of us that you have opened our eyes, Lord, to see and to know that you are a loving and caring Father. Lord, that you are concerned for us each and every day. And you love to hear us pray and to sing and to worship. Lord, what a privilege and a blessing it is to be able to do that here today with our brothers and sisters. Lord, I pray that you'd use this ministry to reach as many as needed. Lord, that you would give us wisdom to do the right things. Lord, we just commit our time to you this morning, thanking you for the opportunity to just be here and to be in your presence. We love you, Lord. We are grateful. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, there we go. All right, let's hit the live stream here on Facebook Live. Okay, all right, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Lee Arnold, and welcome to He's the Solution Ministries. Glad to have you all here with us this morning. If you would, please open up your Bibles to 2 Samuel. And it's doing that thing again, everybody. Let's see if I can get this fixed. Sorry, for those of you on the phone, my Facebook Live feed just dropped out for some reason. Let me see if I can fix this real quick. See if that does it. Okay, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Lee Arnold. Welcome to He's the Solution Ministries. I'm just waiting to see if our live stream is going to be fixed. Thanks, Robert. I think I did hit record on the phone. Let me check. Okay, it looks like our live stream is up, so that's good. And we are recording, Robert. Okay, Robert said he just got the Facebook Live notice. Okay, good. Hopefully we are good to go. Gotta love this technology. Isn't it fantastic? Anyway. All right, well, again, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Lee Arnold, and welcome to He's the Solution Ministries. Glad to have you all here with us this morning. We are going to pick up our study in 2 Samuel chapter 7. So if you would, please turn your Bibles there, 2 Samuel chapter 7. And we are going to finish the chapter today, picking up in verse 18 and going through the end of the chapter. A couple of things that I wanted to do here at the top before we jump into our study. And I wrote this down just to make sure I didn't forget anybody or the details of it. So here's what I have. It was great to see so many people here in Coeur d'Alene this week. We had Dana and Terry Claft from Napomo, California, Terry and Kent McGee from Arkansas. We had Bill Purifoy from Pennsylvania in Philadelphia, Jerry Strax from Dallas, Stephen Edwards from South Florida, A.C. Johnson from North Carolina. We had Boyce and Christy McLeod from Austin, Texas. We had Brian Burke from Oregon. We had Mike Biglane from Ocala, Florida. And then in-house, we had Robert Tavares, Gary Myers, John Kane, Cherie Constance, amongst others. We had our annual training for our speakers, for our trainers, and for everyone that is often out on the road training and speaking for us. It's been a while since we were all together. On Wednesday night, we went to a place called Honey that serves fried chicken, of course. Then on Thursday night, we went to the Coeur d'Alene Resort, and we had dinner at a place called Dockside. And after dinner, we were all saying our goodbyes and saying that we were excited to see everyone again in October. Again, the Be Bold for Jesus Conference is the 23rd, 24th, and 25th. That's our Be Bold for Jesus conference. And Mike Biglane came over. Now, Mike Biglane is one of our trainers. I'll tell you his story. But he came over and he whispered in my ear and he said, Lee, I'd like to talk to you at the Be Bold for Jesus conference in October. He said, I think it's time for me to get saved. I looked back at him and I said, Mike, we're not going to wait until October to have that conversation. We're going to do this now. So we stepped outside in front of the Coeur d'Alene Resort right there in the rotunda. And on Thursday night, January 23rd, 2020, Mike invited Jesus into his heart and he accepted Jesus as his Lord and Savior. I looked at him with my eyes filling with tears and I said, there's very little that makes me cry, but seeing a friend, family member, loved one, or even a stranger finally make that decision to invite Jesus into their heart is a powerful thing. I was so excited that the Lord and Mike had allowed me to be part of it. We jumped in my truck to drop Mike off at his hotel, and when we arrived, Dana and Terry, Bill, Jerry, and Terry McGee were all in the lobby. And I told Mike to tell them what he had done, and he said, tonight I invited Jesus to come into my heart and be my Lord and Savior. And they all started congratulating him, hugging him, crying with him. It was an incredible homecoming. I asked Mike what it was that he decided that now was the time, and he said, I grew up Catholic, and I did some pretty terrible things in my youth and my first marriage, and by the time I got divorced, I figured there was no hope for me, so why even try anymore? He said, I met you at a conference in Orlando over 10 years ago and started working with you, and when attending your events as a mentor or a trainer, you always have church service on Sunday morning. He says, I remember John Harper coming out and sharing Christ with the room. He's a powerful speaker. I remember sitting in another hotel in another city attending the church service with Robert Tavares when he was preaching and sitting in a hotel room when you, Lee, were preaching. He says, I've known you now for over 10 years, Lee, and I've always admired the people that you've surrounded yourself with. You and them always seem to have a special aura about you, and I'd longed to have that as well. After we finished eating, we all held hands and we prayed together to depart. And he says, I was so touched by the Spirit that I decided I didn't want to live on the outside anymore. I wanted to be part of what everyone else has. That is the reason I decided to invite Jesus into my heart tonight. I asked him how he felt knowing that he had the Holy Spirit now living inside of him. And he said, it is like nothing I've ever experienced before. I feel like 10,000 pounds has been lifted off my shoulders. We spent an hour in that hotel lobby sharing stories of how the Lord has saved us from so many things that felt empty and pointless. It was an experience I never want to forget and one that I hope to encounter more and more frequently throughout my career, my life, and this ministry. If you do not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, let today be that day that, like Mike, you decide that enough is enough. You are tired of going it all on your own, and you're ready to surrender your life to Christ. Right there where you are right now, say this simple prayer. Just say, Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner, and today I want to confess my sins to you and ask you to come into my heart. I want you to be the Lord of my life. I accept your free gift of salvation and ask that you come into my heart. I make you my Lord and Savior. When you say that simple prayer, the Holy Spirit comes into your heart and will be with you the rest of your life. When death does come to you, you'll go straight to heaven. You don't have to live a life of perfection, and you can have done some very terrible things up to this point. And God sent his son to die on the cross, and 3 days later, raise again from the grave. It is through his death that our sins are forgiven. Do not let the memories of your past keep you from accepting this free gift of salvation. It is not about being a good person. It's about acknowledging that Jesus loves you and inviting him to be your Lord and Savior. Mike flew away the next morning as he was headed out to speak at an event, and I received this text from him shortly after he landed. He said, Lee, I am in Pittsburgh, ready for an awesome event tomorrow. Words cannot express what I'm feeling today. I am forever grateful. He's the Solution Ministries was started October of 2009. We've had Bible study every Sunday since then. Mike attended many seminars around the country, always attending the church services, but never accepting Jesus into his heart. You know, that got me thinking, how many people claim God as their Savior, attend church pretty regularly, say all the right things, know all the right verses, but know that they don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? They know that something's missing, and they feel like there's this hole in their heart and in their life. That's how Mike felt. I mean, he's going to church every Sunday, going to the church services or events, finally comes to the realization that he doesn't have what everyone else has. He does now. And I just want to encourage you guys, you know, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ this morning, like Mike, why wait? Let's just get that taken care of this morning. I want to thank each and every one of you for your support of this ministry over the last 10 years. It is because of your commitments and your tithes and offerings that we can continue to offer this ministry. Thank you. I pray the Lord would allow us to continue to minister the word through this country and the world. We have two events going on today that if you guys could be in prayer about, I would appreciate it. We have a funding tour in Pittsburgh where Mike is there training. We also have a funding tour in Houston or in Austin, Texas, where A.C. Johnson is. Please be in prayer for those in attendance at the church service. Pray that others would come to invite and accept Jesus into their hearts. And then I wanted to share this with you real quick. This is an email that just came over yesterday, and this is a praise report I wanted to share with you guys. It says this, Dear Lee Arnold, my name is David, and I was on the Atlanta funding tour and the broker course last week, and I will be in Orlando on January 19th, or it was in January the 19th. He says, I was asked to write a letter after the funding tour, and something happened I still cannot explain. Something took over my heart and removed all the past I was hanging on to for years after losing over $45 million. I felt the hair raise on my arms, and my heart just felt all the bad leave. On the way home that night, I have driven that 85 South 100 times or more, but this time I could see myself driving my truck, and the road did not look familiar at all. I looked at signs that I knew before, and all of them look like I never had seen them before. Unexplainable. Since that day, everything I do turns into gold, so to speak. I had an issue with my mortgage license that got cleared the next day. I had a $191,000 tax lien I had been trying to get straight for years. And on Tuesday, I got a call from the IRS saying they will accept $1,025. Yes, a grand. I have two loans going, one flip, one wholesale for $15,000. Also putting a multifamily development together with free and clear cross-collateralization for a couple of million dollars, all in the last 5 days. I can only say God has touched my life, and I will not leave him again. I will not leave him out again like when I was filthy rich. I helped many, but I did not serve him until now. Like your story, I also think God punished me and took everyone else down with me because I ignored him and became a multimillionaire thinking I did it on my own without him. But I know better now since this happened to me. Coming to your program was an intervention for sure from our Lord Jesus. I don't know if you will have me to help build this great business, but if you will, I will pack up and move my family to Idaho ASAP and start at the bottom if needed and work my way to the top alongside of you. I owe my future to you, and without coming to the class, I would still be lost. God put us together so that we can help more folks in need of money and of his word. Please let me know if this is doable for you. Have a blessed day. Sincerely, David. Friends, the Lord is doing an incredible work through this ministry. I'm humbled to be a part of it and excited to be doing it with you as our ministry partner. Your support, both in prayer and financially, have kept us going. And I share this story with you because this is what it's all about. Yes, we put on real estate investment seminars to teach people how to make money in real estate, but these emails, these stories, these people coming to know the Lord, coming to know Christ as their Lord and Savior. It's the reason we do it. God is so faithful. Thank you. And, you know, I was just reminded, in, as Dana was praying, that, yes, we are a real estate investment seminar company, but really we are a ministry disguised as a real estate investment seminar company. So I just want to encourage each and every one of us to be in prayer. You know, seeing Mike accept Christ as Lord and Savior, Mike's in his 60s, mid to late 60s. It's never too late for anybody, no matter how old they are, no matter what they've done, what they've been involved in, it's never too late. So don't stop praying. Don't stop preaching. Don't stop sharing. Don't stop loving. We all have family members, people in our lives that, you know, we've actually made something, we've made statements along the lines of, I don't think that person's ever going to get saved. Well, in the flesh, you know, as human beings, yeah, we can see that. Okay, they have no interest in the Lord's things. They fight him on every turn. They believe completely opposite of what the Bible says. They're never going to come to know Christ. You know what? Just be in prayer for them. I love saying prayers with my kids at night because they have a whole list of people that they're praying for, including their grandparents, praying that they would come out of where they are and that they would accept the Lord as their Savior. So never stop praying. Never stop giving those people over to the Lord. It's amazing what he can do. But the power must come from him and through him. All right. Open up your Bibles, please, to 2 Samuel chapter 7. And we're going to read, we're going to start in verse 18, and then we'll read to the end of the chapter. Let's read. 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 18. And then King David went in and sat before the Lord, and he said, "Who am I, O sovereign Lord? And what is my family that you have brought me this far? And as if this were not enough in your sight, O sovereign Lord, you have also spoken about the future of the house of your servant. Is this your usual way of dealing with man, O sovereign Lord? What more can David say to you? For you know your servant, O sovereign Lord. For the sake of your word and according to your will, you have done this great thing and made it known to your servant. How great you are, O sovereign Lord. There is no one like you. There is no God but you, as we have heard with our own ears. And who is like your people Israel, the one nation on earth that God went out to redeem as a people for himself and to make a name for himself and to perform great and awesome wonders by driving out nations and their gods from before your people, whom you redeemed from Egypt? You have established your people Israel as your very own forever, and you, O Lord, have become their God. And now, Lord God, keep forever the promise you have made concerning your servant and his house. Do as you promised, so that your name will be great forever. Then men will say, the Lord Almighty is God over Israel, and the house of your servant David will be established before you. O Lord Almighty, God of Israel, you have revealed this to your servant, saying, I will build a house for you. So your servant has found courage to offer you this prayer. O sovereign Lord, you are God. Your words are trustworthy, and you have promised these good things to your servant. Now be pleased to bless the house of your servant, that it may continue forever in your sight. For you, O sovereign Lord, have spoken, and with your blessing, the house of your servant will be blessed forever." Let's pray. Lord, we just come to you now as we open up your word, Lord, as we just study these verses. Lord, we ask that you would just speak to each one of us, Lord, that you would convey to us what you know we need to hear, Lord, to give us the answers to the prayers we've been offering up this week. Lord, as we seek counsel from you, as we seek wisdom from you, as we seek comfort in some tough situations from you, Lord, I just pray that you would reveal yourself in a mighty and a powerful way this morning. Lord, that you would touch hearts, that you would touch lives, Lord, and that you would soften even the hardest critic about your word, Lord, so many people want to believe that you don't exist. So many people want to believe that we are the result of an explosion or monkeys growing old simply because they don't want to be responsible, Lord. They don't want to be held accountable to what your word says. So Lord, I pray that you would break through those beliefs, Lord, that you would break down those crazy beliefs, Lord, and that people would come to know you as Lord and Savior this morning. So Lord, we just commit our time to you now. Lord, praying that you would help me to get out of the way. Nobody cares who I am or what I have to say, Lord. We just want to hear from you. So we commit this time to you now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. As context and review, verse 1 of chapter 7. After the king was settled in his palace and the Lord had given him rest from all his enemies around him, he said to Nathan the prophet, "Here I am living in a palace of cedar while the ark of God remains in a tent." Now, here we see David in a rare season of rest. With no one attacking, Israel was experiencing a time of peace and tranquility, which for David has been a long time coming. In this message from Nathan, God is saying that he doesn't want David to build a house for him. You recall David wants to build a house for the Lord. Nathan the prophet says, absolutely build a house for the Lord. David, go and do your thing. And that night, the Lord comes to Nathan in a dream, and he says, no. Sorry, man, David can't build the temple. That's not what I have called him to do. So why didn't God want David to build the temple? Because God told David that his job was to unify and lead Israel and to destroy its enemies. This huge task would require David to shed a great deal of blood. In 1 Chronicles 28, verse 3, we learn that God did not want his temple built by a warrior. Therefore, David made the plans and collected the materials so that his son Solomon could begin work on the temple as soon as he became king. David accepted his part in God's plan and did not try to go beyond it. Sometimes God says no to our plans. When he does, we should utilize the other opportunities he gives. Arthur Tappan Pearson was an American Baptist pastor, Christian leader, missionary, and writer who preached over 13,000 sermons, wrote over 50 books, and gave Bible lectures as part of a transatlantic preaching ministry that made him famous in Scotland, England, and Korea. And he used to say, disappointments are God's appointments. And while it is very discouraging to have God close a door on something that we are very passionate about and excited about, he always finds a way to make it even better. So last week, David wants to build this temple for the Lord, and the Lord says, no, I don't want you to do that, David. How many times have we said, Lord, I want to do this. Lord, I want to go there. Lord, I want to start that. Lord, I want to be involved in this thing. Lord, I want to marry that person. Lord, I want to start this business. Lord, I want to buy that house. And the Lord says, no. Now, there's three answers to prayer. There's yes. There's no, and there's grow. Grow meaning that the Lord knows us better than anybody. And if he gives us the desires of our hearts, if our hearts are not in line with his will and his authority, often our hearts want something that he knows is not a good idea. For example, my kids, during Halloween, we have what's called a hallelujah party at our church on October 31st, and the kids always come home with way too much candy, just, you know, baskets and bags filled with candy, and of course, that's what they want. So they proceed to eat it, and they get a bellyache, but that's okay. It's temporary. It'll go away, and I say, that candy is not good for you. We need to take that candy away. No, Dad, don't take my candy. Well, I took the candy. But oftentimes, if the Lord doesn't take something away from us in time, bad things can happen. Now, unfortunately for my kids, I did not take the candy away as soon as I should have, because at the dentist last week, it was revealed that Harrison and Andrea have 4 cavities each, and Preston has 2 cavities each. And so while they were initially given what they thought was good, turns out it wasn't such a great thing. And that's what happens with the Lord. We want something. We want this job. We want this business. We want this opportunity. We want this investment. And for whatever reason, and we never know what it is, but it just doesn't come together. You know, we see this a lot on the COGO Capital side because, as you guys know, we are a nationwide private money lender. So we lend money all over the country to people who want to buy, fix, and sell houses. Now, through the process, the appraisal can come in low, the title can have cloudy issues, the seller can suddenly change their mind for whatever reason, the market may shift, and what used to be a good area is no longer a good area. And there's just a multitude of things that can happen where, for whatever reason, the deal doesn't go. And let me tell you, people aren't happy about it. They're like, you screwed up. It was your fault. You didn't do this. You didn't do that. Blah, 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 blah. You know, and I would just encourage all of us, and that's just one example. But we all have situations where we're moving forward in a direction, and doors are slammed at every turn. Shut. No, don't go that way. Lord, I don't want you to go there. And we get angry. And our first reaction is carnal because, what did I do that I could have done something different? How could I have fixed this? You know, there's so many different excuses that we give. But how does our life look if we simply just say, Lord, thank you. Thank you that the deal didn't go through. Thank you that my business isn't doing great. Thank you that this isn't happening. Thank you. Because every aspect of our lives, when you invite Jesus into your heart and you say, Lord, I want you to be my Lord and Savior, come into my life, then everything that occurs in your life is a direct result of him leading and guiding your life. Well, Lee, I just don't feel like, I don't feel the Lord's presence. I don't feel like he's leading me and he's guiding me. Have you prayed to him? Have you said, Lord, I am confused. I am lost. I'm not sure which direction to go, Lord. What would you have me to do? And just pray that prayer. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to have, you know, this miraculous vision from heaven and the clouds are going to open and you're going to hear God's voice audibly. I mean, it could happen. It happens. Maybe it will. But if you're waiting for that kind of a response to your prayer, you may be disappointed because that's not often how God communicates with us. God communicates with us through his word. God communicates to us by listening to his word. God may be communicating to you right now saying, don't start that. Don't buy that. Don't marry that. Don't work there. Don't go to church there. Or he could be saying, start that and doors are opening. He could be saying, marry that and doors are opening. See, God answers our prayer and he directs us by us continuing to move forward and him directing our paths. You know, you guys have heard this analogy a million times, but it's so incredibly important. And the analogy is the big ocean liners, you know, these big container ships, these cargo ships that carry just millions, if not billions of tonnage and weight. They're all steered by this little tiny rudder that is 1/1,000th the size of the ship. But if the ship's not moving, the rudder is worthless. And so as Christians, we need to understand that it's not our job to sit idle and wait for God to push us. That's not what happens. We need to keep moving, which means you need to get up, you need to get out of bed, you need to get ready, and you need to go do something. Get on the phone, make a phone call, go knock on the door, go submit a resume, go fill out an application, go write an offer, go propose. Move. You know, I'm frustrated by the Christian who says God's not speaking to me, so I'm just going to sit here until he does. That's not how God works. God wants us moving, so move. And yeah, it may be the wrong direction, but I can assure you if it's the wrong direction, God is going to make it blatantly obvious that you've gone the wrong direction, because it's not going to go well. Doors will be slammed shut. It will feel like you are running uphill or swimming upstream. If God's in it, doesn't mean it's going to be easy, but it does mean it's going to happen. It's going to be possible. So while it's very discouraging to have God close the door on something that we are very passionate and excited about, he always finds a way to make it even better. You can't do what you want to do, David. That's what Nathan is saying. But God's going to build a house that you won't believe. From your seed will come one whose kingdom is forever. Somehow David understood this. Somehow by the Spirit, David got it. He knew somehow that Nathan was talking to him about something that was bigger than anything he dreamed of or could have imagined. So that's our review, which now brings us to verse 18. And that's where we pick up in our study here this morning. David is overwhelmed by the fact that Jesus Christ will be in his line. This section records David's prayer expressing his humble acceptance of God's promise to extend his dynasty forever. David realized that these blessings were given to him and his descendants in order that Israel might benefit from them. This would help fulfill God's greater purpose and promise that through the nation, the whole world would be blessed. Hang a left in your Bible real quick. I want you to look at Genesis chapter 12. Turn to Genesis chapter 12. And let's read together verses 1, 2, and 3. It says this: "The Lord has said to Abram, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." What does that mean? All nations, all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. It means that through Abram's line, Abraham's line, which is now David's line, that's where Jesus Christ is going to come from. So through that line, all nations will be blessed because we all have an opportunity to invite Jesus into our hearts. Now, the Jewish nation, God's chosen people, they believe that they have, you know, God to themselves. Now, we're the chosen people, right? God chose us. He preserved us. He protected us. That's true. That was God's promise. But he also said, I'm going to bring through the seed of Abraham and through the seed of David one who all nations will have access to, and that's Jesus Christ. Jesus died on the cross for everybody, not just the Jews, not just the Gentiles, but for all of us. And what that means is it doesn't matter where you live, where you're from, what your background is, genealogy. I'm fascinated by all these genealogy studies in religion and different philosophies, because somehow your genealogy has something to do with something. No, I mean, it's always interesting to find out where you're from and who your ancestors were. But to do that, to see if you are part of a particular line, you know, the church out there that says we are the 144,000 and we are exclusive. You know, if they would actually line themselves up, all of those who claim to be a member of the 144,000, there's more than 144,000. So if what you're believing is correct, then how come there's more than the 144,000? So that can't be it. There's a lot of misnomers. There's a lot of bad information out there as it relates to Jesus Christ and him crucified. And so many people want to claim that they have the one true church. Sorry. The one true church lives here. The one true church is everyone who has accepted Jesus into their heart and made him their Lord and Savior. Arden Shambaugh prayed this morning about the denominations and how we are separated, and we call ourselves Baptists and Pentecostals and Methodists. And look, if you have Jesus living inside of you, you are a child of God. And all of those who are children of God make up the church. the building that you choose to go to is merely the way that you prefer to worship. It's not better or less than or right or wrong. It's just where you choose to worship. So if you enjoy, loud music and bands and production and shows, great. If that's where you feel like the Lord is calling you, go there. If you prefer hymns and a cappella and no musical instruments at all and, suit and tie and head coverings, great, go there. If you have Jesus living in your heart, you're a child of God and you're in the family of God. No ifs, ands, or buts. So there is no one true church. There is no one right religion. There is no one. It's relationship with Jesus Christ. So when somebody says, do you go to church? Yeah. Really, where do you go to church? What they're really asking is, are you Methodist? Are you Baptist? Are you Calvinist? What are you? I'm a Christian. I'm a born-again Christian. I've invited Jesus into my heart, and I've made him my Lord and Savior. That's it. Where I go to church has no bearing on my salvation. Where I go to church has no bearing on who I am as a person. Simply is where I've chosen to go because that's where I feel closest to the Lord. That's how you should be choosing a church. Where do I feel closest to the Lord? Where are they preaching the word, verse by verse, line by line? And I want to be very careful. When choosing a church, do not base it on feelings. Be in prayer about it and say, Lord, is this where you would have me to go to church? And Lord, if it is, reveal yourself to me in some way. And inevitably, you'll end up meeting somebody that you know, you have an existing relationship with. Somebody comes to you and you have a lot in common with that individual. You go to that church and you're sitting there in worship and you just feel the presence of the Lord. But be in prayer about that. That's a big decision. Because where you go to church is not based or tied to its domination. Where you go to church is who you are going to be fellowshipping with in that community, in that family. And that's really what it's all about. The way that David responded to this great word from God is a good example for us to follow today. He humbled himself before the Lord. And at least 10 times, David called himself the servant of God. Servants usually stand at attention and wait for orders, but David sat before the Lord. I like that. Verse 18, then King David went in and he sat before the Lord. But I think he sat because he knew he was going to be there a while. I think he sat because he wanted to be there for a while. How often do we race into church and sit in the back row, and as soon as it's done, we race out of there because we got so much else to do? When was the last time you just sat with the Lord? Not in a church setting, not with a group of people, but you just sat. Bible open, hands folded, prayers being offered up. And you just sat. The covenant God gave David was unconditional. All David had to do was accept it and let God work. Like a child speaking to a loving parent, the king called himself David, and he poured out his heart to the Lord. So David's prayer here has three essential parts. The first part coming in verses 18 through 21. So let's read those together. Then King David went in and sat before the Lord, and he said, "Who am I, O sovereign Lord, and what is my family that you have brought me this far? And as if this were not enough in your sight, O sovereign Lord, you have also spoken about the future of the house of your servant. Is this your usual way of dealing with man, O sovereign Lord? What more can David say?" He refers to himself in the third person. "What more can David say to you? For you know your servant, O sovereign Lord." So here in the first part of David's prayer, he's focusing on the present. As he gave praise for the mercies God had bestowed upon him, it was God's grace that brought David this far, from the sheepfolds to the throne. And now God had spoken about his descendants far into the future. Have you ever poured out your heart to God until you didn't have anything left to say? That was David's state. He had poured out his heart, and his heart was empty. and he was just sitting there before him. You know, this morning you are stressed about something. This morning you are very concerned about a financial decision that you need to make. This morning you are very concerned about a child or a grandchild or a nephew or a niece or a spouse. And your heart is heavy and you feel burdened. You feel overwhelmed. You're feeling anxiety about this thing. Pour it out to the Lord. And I love that. I love that word picture, to pour. You know, when we give something to the Lord, we hand it to him. When you pour something, you know, I think there's two ways to look. Pour, you could, you know, pour and fill up a glass, and that means you're pouring out yourself into the Lord and leaving the container of junk that you're carrying, and you're saying, okay, Lord, here, you take it. I don't want to deal with it anymore. The other way that I see the word pour is in the summertime when the kids are having a water fight and they're filling up pitchers and they're literally just pouring them and just, here, you get rid of this, you take it. Either way, to pour out our heart to the Lord so that our heart and our worry and our concerns are empty, that they're gone. Matthew Henry was a nonconformist minister and an author who was born in Wales in 1662. He said this: it very well becomes the greatest and best of men, even in the midst of the highest advancements, to have low and mean thoughts of themselves, for the greatest of men are worms. The best of men are sinners, and those that are highest advanced have nothing but what they have received. What am I that thou hast brought me hitherto, brought me to the kingdom and to a settlement in it, and rest from all of my enemies? It intimidates that he could not have reached this himself by his own management, if God had brought him to it. All our attainments must be looked upon as God's vouchsafements. That is a 1662 word, which I had no idea what it meant, so I Googled it. And a vouchsafement is gifts to us. All our attainments must be looked upon as God's gifts to us. You know, and said differently, do we really believe that everything we have is from the Lord? It is much easier to say than is our car ours or is it the Lord's? Is our home ours or is it the Lord's? Is the money in the bank ours or is it the Lord's? I heard this once, that the easiest way to determine a person's trust and faith in the Lord is to simply look at their checkbook. Does the way they spend their money and utilize their resources prove that they trust him implicitly? Or are they holding things back from the Lord? Let me personalize that. Does the way you spend your money and utilize your resources prove that you trust the Lord implicitly? Or are you holding things back from the Lord? Well, what am I holding back? Well, it could be time. It could be our thoughts. It could be our abilities. It could be our gifts. It could be our families. It could be our resources. It could be a number of things. As we look at our week, are we prioritizing time with the Lord? Wednesday night Bible study, Thursday night prayer meeting, men's meeting, women's meeting, Sunday morning worship service, morning devotionals, before bed devotionals, time in prayer, time in the Word. Does our checkbook show that we are giving back to the Lord as he asked us to? Is it 1%? Is it 5%? Is it 20%? Now, understand that the tithe, this whole idea of the 10%, that is Old Testament doctrine. We are not under law. There is no rule that 10% is the mandate to prove that you are, you know, a good Christian. But it is the established baseline. Are we even close to the baseline, or are we well below it? Are we well above it? But what you don't understand, I don't have a budget. I can't tithe. Are you kidding? If I took 10% of my check and tithed it to my church, I'd be bankrupt. Good. Because that's not your money. That's the Lord's money. That's not your car. That's the Lord's car. That's not your house. That's the Lord's house. And what are you using? Your money, your car, your house, your time. What are you using it to advance the kingdom? What are you using it for to help the mission? Somebody asked me the other day about something, and I said, you know what, it's not even mine. And they're like, well, whose is it? It says the Lord's. I'm just borrowing it. And I want you to think about that. It's the Lord's. I'm just borrowing it. You know, one of the things that I think about when we buy and flip houses, you know, because we buy houses that were built in the 1900s. Some of you that are up in the Northeast, I mean, you literally have houses that were built when Matthew Henry was alive in the 1600s. Old, old houses. Some of you are like, no, Lee, Columbus didn't come until 1642. Well, you know what I mean? I met a client just the other day who his first house was in Boston, and it was 265 years old when he moved into it. And, you know, I just think about that. How many people lived in that home? How many people called it theirs? That's my house. And now they're gone. The very house that I'm standing in today, when I am dead and gone, somebody else will live here. This is not my house. It's the Lord's. He's just allowing me to stay here temporarily until he moves me to the next house. And I got to tell you guys, it's not an easy concept to get your head around, because living in the world and the society that we live in, it's all about who accumulates the most stuff, right? The person with the most toys wins. And there's nothing wrong with toys. I have them. They're fun. But they're just toys, and they can come and go. They can come as quickly as they can. So if you will detach yourself from "that's mine" and merely recognize the fact that everything you have is on loan from the Lord anyway, you're not taking any of it with you. Doesn't it make sense now to give of our time, to give of our resources, to utilize our homes or our cars or our money for ministry? Yeah. Verse 22, David continues, "How great you are, O sovereign Lord. There is no one like you. There is no God but you, as we have heard with our own ears. And who is like your people Israel, the one nation on earth that God went out to redeem as a people for himself and to make a name for himself and to perform great and awesome wonders by driving out nations and their gods from before your people, whom you redeemed from Egypt? You have established your people Israel as your very own forever, and you, O Lord, have become their own." Now, the second part of David's prayer focuses on the past of God's amazing grace toward Israel. The Lord chose Israel instead of the other nations on the earth, and he revealed himself to Israel by giving the law at Mount Sinai and speaking the word through his prophets. God is the Lord of all nations, but he did great things for Israel, his chosen people, and he continues to do great things for Israel. David recognized the wonderful truth that God had chosen Israel to be his people forever. God chose Israel, and he gave him the Ten Commandments. Now, contrary to popular belief, the Ten Commandments do not exist because God wants to put his thumb on us and say, if you don't follow my rules, you're going to hell. That's not why he gave us the Ten Commandments. You know, people have this misconception of God that he's this mean person that, you know, kills people or allows people to die. Or look, the Ten Commandments were given so that we as human beings can see we are messed up. We are sinful people. We covet our neighbor's stuff all the time. You know, the Bible says don't covet your neighbor's wife. Well, what that means is don't cover your neighbor's possessions. I mean, when was the last time you said, gee, I wish I had that guy's money? Gee, I wish I lived in a house like that. Gee, I wish I drove a car like that. That's covetousness. That's a sin. And something as simple as looking and go, man, I wish I had that. That's sin. Lying, cheating, stealing. We've all done it. We can't help it. We are born sinners. The Ten Commandments exist merely to show us that we cannot be perfect on our own. We can't even be perfect when Jesus is dwelling inside of us. We still have terrible thoughts. I do. I still say, man, that's a beautiful car. Man, I'd love to drive that car. I still say, man, I'd love to live in that house. But I always bring it back and say, Lord, good grief. I don't want that car. I don't want that house. I don't want that life if you're not part of it. You know what I want, Lord? I want a life that you are leading me and guiding me and showing me, and I'm elated about it. That's a great life. The third part of David's prayer and praise look to the future as revealed in the covenant just delivered to the king. God gave the word, David believed it, and David asked God to fulfill that word for his people. He wanted Israel to continue as a nation and the Lord to be magnified through Israel. He asked that his house be built just as the Lord had promised, even though it was disappointing to David that he wasn't permitted to build a house for the Lord. Verse 25. And now, O Lord, this is the third part, David says, and now, O Lord God, keep forever the promise you have made concerning your servant and his house. Do as you promised, so that your name will be great forever. Then men will say, the Lord Almighty is God over Israel, and the house of your servant David will be established before you. He's saying, Lord, build an amazing house so that others will see you. I believe that David was a man after God's heart, because everything he did was to glorify the Lord. All the battles that he won, he didn't take credit for them. He said, the Lord was with me. You know, as we look to build big businesses, as we look to build, you know, big bank accounts, are we doing it because we want the glory, or are we doing it because God gets the glory? If you were rich today, would you say, the Lord did it? I had nothing to do with it. It's the Lord. Couldn't have done it without the Lord. Wouldn't even be here if it weren't for the Lord. That's what David is saying. And that needs to be our heart in every situation. It's the Lord. I'm an idiot. I don't have a clue what I'm doing. It's the Lord. Verse 27, O Lord, Almighty God of Israel, you have revealed this to your servant, saying, I will build a house for you. So your servant has found courage to offer you this prayer. Matthew Henry again, he says, we must turn God's promises into prayers, and then they shall be turned into performances. For with God, saying and doing are not two different things, as they are often with men. God will do as he hath said. How many people do you know that have said they're going to do one thing and didn't do anything, or said they were going to go this way and went that way? That's not God. God says, this is what I'm going to do. And God always does what he says he's going to do. And what did he say he would do for you? He said he would never leave you or forsake you. He said he would never give you more than you could bear. So if you're feeling stressed or overwhelmed or having anxiety this morning, that's not from the Lord. That's the enemy putting that on you. And you need to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. And say, Lord, I can't deal with this today. Lord, this worry, this concern, this stress, it's keeping me from you. Lord, take it. I don't want it. David prays for the glorifying of God's name. He says, let thy name be magnified forever. And this ought to be the summary and center of all of our prayers, the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega of our prayers. Begin with, hallowed be thy name, and end with, thine is the glory forever. Whether I be magnified or not, let thy name be magnified. I love that. Whether I be magnified or not, let thy name be magnified. David desired the performance of God's promise for the honor, not of his name, but of God's name. Here's my thought on this. Do we seek to bring God the honor and praise, or are we looking to be the recipient of honor and praise? Do we seek the approval of men over the approval of God? Do we make everything else the priority, giving God the bare minimum of what is left, knowing full well that this could be nothing at all? Thy kingdom come is verse 27. O Lord Almighty, God of Israel, you have revealed this to your servant, saying, I will build a house for you. So your servant has found courage to offer you this prayer. It was enough for David simply to hear the promises and believe them. And he also prayed to the Lord to fulfill them. In his humility, faith, and submission to God's will, David is a good example for us to follow. David rested upon what God had promised. God has also made a promise to you and me. In John chapter 3, verse 16, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him, in God's Son, shall not perish but have eternal life. Will you believe God? David believed God. And we have seen that Abraham believes God. Moses believed God. Joshua believed God. And he wants you to believe God. Whatever your name is, God is saying to you today, believe me, I'll save you if you will trust Christ as your Savior. That is the covenant with you and me. John Corson says, my prayer is that you would marvel that God has built you a house, that he lives in your heart, and that he'll build your house to the glory of his Son. Surely this is too much for me. I truly don't deserve this. Just when God begins to pour it on, it gets hard to take. And you're thinking, oh no, it's just too much for me. I don't deserve that. That's one thing, though, that we have to learn, is just to accept grace gracefully. God loves you, and he does it for you just because he loves you. Not because you deserve it. Not because you're worthy. Lord, it's for your word's sake. And because of your heart, I know that you have done these things. It isn't because David is so good or so deserving. It's because God allowed it for him. And this morning, God wants to bless you. God is blessing you. If you actually just stop and stop thinking of all the things that have gone terribly wrong, and just look backwards and look at all the things that have gone terribly right, look at the times when God has brought you through some very tough situations. So whatever you're stressed and worried about this morning, God's going to deal with that too. But I can tell you this, you will get relief a lot faster if you will turn it over to the Lord instead of holding it in and saying, Lord, I'm worried. Lord, I'm afraid. Turn it over to the Lord. Well, Lee, I don't even know what that means. What does that even look like? It says, Lord, I'm stressed to the max. And Lord, I want to offload my anxiety to you. Lord, I want you to take this worry away from me. Lord, I pray for the situation I'm currently dealing with. And I pray, Lord, that not only would you deal with it, but that you would allow me to stop worrying about it. And Lord, if I try to take it back, don't let me. Lord, I'm going to lay this burden on you. I'm going to leave it at your feet. And I'm going to let go and let God take care of it. It's a very simple prayer to pray. But understand that just praying the prayer is not going to make you feel better about it. You have to literally pray the prayer and be done. You can't say, Lord, take this away from me, and then say, you know what, Lord, I want to worry some more about that. So I'm going to take it back. That's how that works. Give it to the Lord and leave it there. Let's pray. Lord, I just pray, Lord, this chapter, Lord, did not at all go the way I thought it would, which, Lord, tells me this morning there are some people that are really worried this morning, and they're struggling with some things. And Lord, I pray that you would encourage them to leave it with you. And for those of you that are here this morning listening or watching this at a later time, and you are worried and you are stressed and you are freaking out about something, the first thing you must understand is that it's not likely for somebody to go ask a stranger for help. If we have financial problems, we usually call our parents. We don't call a stranger. And if you are worried this morning about something and you have never invited Jesus into your heart, asking him to help you with stress or worry, it's asking a stranger. You don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. So this morning, get your heart right. Invite Jesus into your heart and say, "Dear Jesus, I'm a sinner, and I confess to you my sins, Lord. I want you to come into my heart. I want you to be my Lord and Savior, Lord. I want to follow you all of my days. Lord, I receive your free gift of salvation." And when you say that prayer, you now have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, you're not talking to a stranger. You're talking to a friend. You're talking to your Savior. You're talking to God himself. Lord, help us to not lose sight of that fact when we pray to you and when we give these things to you, Lord. We are giving them to the creator of the universe, Lord. Nothing happens without your hand on it. So, Lord, help us to not think that we are anything more than a creation and extension of you. You've put us on this earth, Lord, at this moment for a purpose, to accomplish your will. Lord, help us to not allow the things of this world, the stresses of money and jobs and building businesses, Lord, help us not allow those to get in the way of just living a life for you. And Lord, that is my prayer, that we would live lives that are honoring and pleasing to you. We love you, Lord. We thank you so much for all that you do, all that you're doing, and all that you have planned. Help us to stay in faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Give it to the Lord. Leave it there. Stop worrying. If anybody needs prayer, we'd love to pray with you. If you are really worried this morning and you just want to talk to somebody and pray, call us, 800-461-0216, 800-461-0216. Or you can post something at our website at hesthesolution.com, or you can post something on our Facebook page. There's a prayer circle there. Just go to Facebook and type in He's the Solution Ministries, and our page will pop up. Make sure you like the page so that you can get notifications for future sermons and future teachings, and you'll get notified when we go live as well. Last thing I want to mention, please, please, please put this in your calendars. I want you all there. It's the Be Bold for Jesus Conference, October 23rd, 24th, and 25th, right here. It's going to be in beautiful Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. We have confirmed that Kirk Cameron from Growing Pains will be coming as our keynote speaker. You don't want to miss him, so please be in prayer about this, as it is a sizable investment to get him to come. So please be in prayer for this conference and for all those that will be traveling to it. So until next time, God bless you guys. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you soon. Goodbye, everybody.